month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers. Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am sitting across the table this morning from Debbie Shreve.
The Debster.
You have not been here in a month of Sundays.
That's correct.
Been sick, busy, been whatever.
Yes.
But now you're here.
Yes.
And we are going to talk about two important words today on Real Truth for Today. Two words that every person needs to know. Two words that every mom and dad need to teach their children from the get-go. And those two words are thank you. Having the wherewithal to say thank you. And the power of gratitude in our lives, especially in our Christian lives. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. While he, Jesus, was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, that took faith, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Debbie, you and Rochelle Schroeder just completed a three-week Thursday lunch Bible study for the women in our church on the subject of gratitude and saying thank you and the power that is found in that. And so when we think about that, you know, it's a simple thing to say thank you, but it's something that, I'll say it this way. It seems like complaining comes to our lips a lot more readily than does gratitude.
Right. And, you know, it's such a universal principle because you can go to any culture group in the world and they are going to have as one of their principles this attitude of saying thank you. Mm-hmm. And we teach our kids that, yet it seems like the older we get and as life starts to happen to us, we can get a lot more inward focus and, like you said, have a lot more to complain about. We can have a lot of complaining come out of our mouths as opposed to gratitude come out of our mouths. And I heard something years ago, which is so true, and it's it went something like this, that complaining is a lot like bad breath. You recognize it in other people, but not necessarily in yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. And so if we are not making a deliberate choice to make sure that our heart and our mind stays focused on those things that God has just so graciously given us and provided for us, we are not going to have a thankful heart. We are going to be complainers. And so it is so important that we make the decision to choose to dwell on those good things, regardless of what our circumstances are. And there was a quote in one of the books that Rochelle and I read that says this: a grateful heart flows out of an understanding of who Jesus is and who we are in Him. When we are rightly oriented before God the Father, our Creator and Redeemer, we are never without things to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. No matter the ebbs and flows of our circumstances, our identity as His child doesn't change.
Right. Well, the scripture says in Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing, arguing. And I think the grumbling, as I said, it's just so second nature to so many of us. And, you know, things are just not right. And, you know, the food wasn't at the restaurant, just wasn't right. Or the temperature wasn't right. Or the traffic was not right. Or, you know, it's just, you can always find something to gripe and complain about. And we need to, especially as we enter into Thanksgiving time, and I mean, November is the month that we talk about Thanksgiving, and we need to be thankful all the time, not just one Thursday in Thanksgiving.
Right.
But it is a focus, and it is good for us to say, am I really being thankful? So Bobby Fisher, my friend, was here yesterday. He spoke at our Thursday Man Up, our men's Bible study that we have every Thursday for lunch. And he talked about being thankful. And he said, you know, the Lord really convicted him that he was not grateful enough for where he is in life and how the Lord has blessed him. And he said, you know, it's easy to feel the crush of pressures and deadlines and, I got so much to do. And especially for a pastor, you know, I was talking to a pastor friend just yesterday, and he said, you know, Sunday's coming. I mean, he said, people don't realize for a pastor that they live under the pressure of another sermon. And Bible reading and Bible study is not just for personal enrichment. I have to get a message going. And so, you know, for me, every Friday at noon, I have to have a Sunday morning outline ready to go, or my secretary's going to be in trouble, and that's not good for me. So there is the pressure of that. And, you know, we need to step back and say, what a privilege that I get to do this. I mean, I get to study God's word for my job and preach God's word for my job and minister to people at their highest highs and lowest lows and everything in between. And I need to look at that for what it really is, and what a privilege that God has allowed me to be in His kingdom and to do these things, and not look at it as a burden.
Well, I think too, some of us, just based on our God-given temperaments, have an easier time with gratitude because we are the glass is half full kind of people. Mm-hmm. But the personality types that are more lean towards the glass is half empty, they can struggle with it more. But, you know, the Bible is very clear about, you know, be thankful in all things. And so God is not going to give us a command that He is not also going to give us the power to obey and to see it through in our lives. So it is not an impossibility. It boils back down to the fact that having a heart of gratitude and thankfulness is a choice, and it's a choice that we have to make on a daily basis, and sometimes an hourly, minute-by-minute basis if we're dealing with rough circumstances or things that are not going well in our lives. But it is a choice that we can make. We have the power within us to make that choice, and to make that choice often enough that it becomes a habit in our lives, a habit to be thankful and grateful. I know for me personally, I'm going to say this was probably 10 or 15 years ago, I decided one year as I was reading the Bible through, I was going to write down first thing in my journal before I even started reading anything for the day. I was going to write down 5 things that I was thankful for. And throughout the course of that year, that just became a habit for me. And so as I look back on any of my journals since that time, that is still what I do almost every day. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm going to write in my prayer journal are things that I'm thankful for. Yeah. And the biggest thing, and Rochelle and I talked about this, the biggest thing we have to be thankful for, the thing that if it was the only thing we ever had, we still could never show enough gratitude for, that's our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent one entire lesson kind of just talking about that, the significance of that and what that looks like, what that means, what that cost our Savior, and what that affords us, not just in this life to have abundance, but also for all eternity, what that affords us.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about one of the first mission trips that I went on. I think we were going to Mexico or South America. And Alberto Lopez was going, and he was from Ecuador.
Say it how he says it.
Alberto Lopez.
Yeah, he was such a sweet guy.
He told our group, he said, listen, he said, you need to be very aware of what comes out of your mouth, because he said it in a nice way, but Americans have a tendency, especially when we travel abroad, compare everything to America. You compare the food, you compare the accommodations and this and that, and you can gripe and complain. And he said, you're dealing with people that look at America as that's like going to paradise, and you come here and you seem to be very ungrateful and nothing we do is good enough. And he said, you just have to be sensitive to that, because we need to be gracious people, not, people that are prideful and arrogant and, you know, you're the dust under my fingernails kind of attitude toward other people. It is a privilege to live in America. And the biggest privilege of all that we get to enjoy is the fact that the Lord saved us when we saw our need and cried out to him. And as Jesus said, and when he sent out the 70, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, don't rejoice in this, that the demons are subject to you in my name, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And so, Debbie, just as you said, I mean, that's if the Lord did nothing else, your life is falling apart and the Lord does nothing else. If you're saved, then rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven, because this life is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And the good news is the Lord does, I mean, he doesn't just save us and then says, I'll see you when you die. Mm-hmm. He is at work, actively at work in our lives. But, when bad things happen to us, hey, join the club. Bad things happen to everybody. So we can still be grateful and thankful because Jesus lives in our heart, because our name is recorded in heaven, because we have access to the life of God and the Holy Spirit, who gives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one of the things that we posed to the ladies, one of the questions was this: is your level of gratitude directly related to your circumstances? You know, so like if circumstances are good, you have a grateful, you have a thankful heart. But if your circumstances aren't good, does that thankfulness and gratitude just kind of go out the window? Now, I think there is there's this element of, hey, we don't necessarily aren't going to find ourselves thankful that we're really sick, or thankful that a loved one has died or something like that. But we can, even in those bad circumstances, still have a grateful heart, not necessarily for the things, the circumstances that are taking place, but we can rise above that and have a thankful heart. And I think one of the greatest examples of that in the New Testament particularly is the Apostle Paul. Because, I mean, was it in 2 Corinthians that he talks about, let me just tell you all I've been through. And mm-hmm. he just starts listing right. all the things out. You know, I'm shipwrecked, I'm beaten, I'm yeah. this, I'm this, I'm this. You know, and then he goes on to talk about his thorn in the flesh and all of that. And it's like, but Paul even in the midst of all of those circumstances that I think any of us would say, man, that was really bad, he still had a thankful and grateful heart. He was still able to say, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, you know?
Right.
And that just shows us, okay, what one man can do, another man can do, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, circumstances, good or bad.
Yeah, well, Chris and I talked about this early. Chris Schroeder was on the program this week, and we talked about, you know, we rejoice in our circumstances, not for our circumstances. Nobody is excited. Hey, the doctor told me I have cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Nobody is thrilled at that news. But in the midst of that news, we can say, okay, Lord, you're still on your throne, and I can praise you. And so we rejoice in our circumstances, not necessarily for our circumstances. And when you give thanks and when you rejoice, even when times are tough, that shows God, I still trust you. I know you're over all of this, and I choose to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about the power of gratitude. The power of saying those two little words, thank you. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the power of gratitude. How is your attitude today? Is it grateful? Are you thankful? You know, the Bible talks about in Psalm 50, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. You know, when life is hard, we say thanks. Maybe it's even through clenched teeth. Maybe it's even through tears. But we say, Lord, I still trust you. I know you're over it all. And we want in this segment to talk about what happens when we do that. How does that that attitude of gratitude make a difference in the lives of other people? And so Debbie, you and Rochelle talked about the Philippian jailer and what happened in Philippi.
Right. Sorry, forgot to turn my mic on. Yeah, we talked about the story of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And one of the things we pointed out, and to those who are familiar with the Bible, you've probably heard the story, but Paul and Silas are on this missionary journey, and they are where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. They were in step with the Lord.
Right.
They were doing the things that the Lord had called them to do, and that was telling about Jesus and telling about his resurrection, and they were doing everything right. But the problem was when they found this little gal that has followed them around for days, just being a nuisance, they said, the Bible says that she had a spirit of divination, and they cast that out of her. Well, her owners were not very happy with that because they made a lot of money off of her. And yeah. So they end up having Paul and Silas beaten, which was against the law for Paul to be beaten because he was a Roman citizen. Mm-hmm. But they have them beaten and thrown in jail. And so they were unjustly accused, and they end up in a horrible circumstance, not because they were deserving of it. Mm-hmm. They were doing exactly what God had called them to do, and yet they end up in this bad circumstance. And so we kind of looked at it from the angle of like, okay, when those kind of things happen to me, when I'm unjustly accused, when I'm doing everything that I know to do that's right, that the Lord's called me to do, yet bad things still happen, mm-hmm. what is my attitude? And I think we see with Paul and Silas that it tells us in verse 25 that as they're in these shackles and in these stocks in this prison, in the inner part of the prison, mm-hmm. so that they could not escape, the jailer was really going to make sure that he did not let these guys escape. It says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God as the other prisoners listened. Mm-hmm. So instead of grumbling and griping and woe is me, this is so unfair, I can't believe this has happened to me, if God is really so good, why am I in this circumstance? You know, he could have protected me. He right. could have kept this from happening. You know, just all the things yeah. that as humans we have a tendency to say. They were in there praying and singing songs of worship. And then it says in verse 26, suddenly there was a strong earthquake that shook the foundation of the jail. All the doors of the jail broke open and all the prisoners were freed from their chains. The jailer woke up and saw that the jail's doors were open, and thinking that the prisoners had already escaped, he got his sword and was about ready to kill himself because he knew that he was responsible for that.
Right.
But Paul shouted, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. We're all still here. And it ends up through Paul and Silas's witness that that jailer gets saved. He says, man, what do I do? You know, and what do I do to be saved? How do I get what you have? Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And then it goes on to say that it wasn't just him, the jailer, but the jailer took Paul and Silas home with them, cleaned their wounds, fed them, and his whole household right. was saved. And so it's just such a testimony to, as believers, people are watching us, especially if they know that we bear the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. They're watching us, and we can have such a powerful influence our lives on other people.
Well, I've often said that your greatest opportunity to witness is when life is hardest. Mm-hmm. Because, listen, anybody can praise God when everything is coming up roses. It's when life kicks you to the curb and difficulties come and you're hurting physically, financially, relationally. When all, you know, you're having problems in your family, you're having problems on the job, and you're still praising God, that speaks volumes to people because they say, well, there's got to be something to this Christianity because, you know, I always, my mind goes back to Johnny Erickson Tata. One of the reasons she's such a great witness is because everybody knows if I were a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, no way could I have the joy that you have in and of myself. I would just be miserable and bitter and all those things. And you're not that. Mm-hmm. And when I had Tim Lee on the program last week for Veterans Day, you know, he just said, I prayed to God, God, don't let me get bitter. And Tim is not bitter. You know, mm-hmm. lost both his legs in Vietnam as a young guy in his 20s, but he has not been bitter. And he said, the Lord gave me this opportunity and through this, you know, through this hardship, you know, Jesus is magnified in me. You know, as the Apostle Paul said with his thorn in the flesh, he didn't want it, whatever it was. And the Lord says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. So if you're listening today and you have a physical difficulty, you have financial strain, you have problems in your family, whatever it might be, just know that people are watching you. The prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas. They had heard people pray, oh God, get me out of this prison. Mm-hmm. But to sing hymns of praise, to be thankful and grateful, to bless the Lord in the midst of trouble, that's what got their attention. And Debbie, in that story, when the prison gates were opened because of the earthquake God sent and all the shackles were removed from the prisoners, nobody left.
I know. We talked about that, and it's like, okay, if you're one of the prisoners, you're John Doe prisoner in there, right. Would you not think, oh, God has rescued me. This is miraculous.
Yes,
this has to be that God wants me to be able to get out of here.
Right.
This has to be what this is. But it's like, no, that wasn't what it was. It was for a greater good.
Yeah, we saw the show Prison Break way back when. And yeah, if the doors of that prison had been wide open, those people would have been stampeding to get out of there.
Right.
But they
right.
weren't. And so we are all still here, as Paul said. So God had done a work in hearts, and it came through the praises of Paul and Silas.
Well, and we talked about too, you know, three things that you can work out and make habits in your life to kind of cultivate that attitude of gratitude. And the first one is remembering. You know, the Bible is constantly, you're hearing that, remember this, because it's so important not just to look back and remember and see what God has done through his word and his faithfulness throughout the course of the Bible, but just in your own heart. in your own life. Okay, remember the ways that God has provided for you, that He has protected you, that He has shown mercy to you. Remember those things. Write them down. Go back and review them and remember them, because if we don't purposely remember, we have a tendency to forget. And mm-hmm. so it's important for us to remember. It's important for us to be praying and to not be so self-focused, but to have our prayers God-focused, because that evokes gratitude in us when we get our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on the Lord. And then just by knowing that God is completing a good work in us regardless of our circumstances. His word promises that He works all things, the good and the bad, together for good, and that we can trust Him to do that. And so when we look at our circumstances, we may not understand why something is happening to us, but we can know that we know that we know that it's not an accident, that God is sovereign over it, and that He is going to work it together for good.
Yeah, and that's a good word, too. You know, as we think about what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. Psalm 29 tells us that. We need to pray. We need to be aware. We need to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and what Israel should do. But at the same time, you have to remember that God is over it all. You know, rulers come and rulers go. Presidents come and presidents go. You can have a disaster president in Joe Biden. You can have a law and order president in Donald Trump. Ultimately, God is over it all. Mm-hmm. And God has given us a window, I believe, of opportunity in America. We've talked about this a lot on the program, for Christians to pray, for Christians to get right, for Christians to bombard the throne of heaven and say, God, do a work in the hearts of people. Because political doesn't change people. What changes people is when they turn to Jesus, and we desperately need a revival. And so, you know, we see people get so worked up over things, and it's just what you said, Debbie. It's Romans 8:28. We trust God. We walk in His ways. We pray. We do the things necessary to do. We speak the truth in love, but then we just turn it all over to Him. We cast our burdens on the Lord, and we know that God is good. God loves me, and God does work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Okay, so we talk about the tendency we all have to go negative because life slaps us in the face. I think Exodus 15, after they crossed the Red Sea, after God wiped out Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, I mean, the people are ecstatic. The Red Sea miracle is the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. I mean, that is massive. Pharaoh and his army are the most powerful nation, its most powerful army, and God wiped them out. He turned them into fish food. And so Exodus 15, they are praising the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He has highly exalted the horse and its rider. He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him. And it goes on and on from there. And then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, which means bitterness, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" It's like, good night. Mm-hmm. You just got through with the greatest miracle. You guys were just blown away, and it took you 72 hours to start grumbling, griping, complaining, and saying, "Well, God, what have you done for me lately? I got nothing to drink. Now what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. My life is over." We so easily fall into that trap.
Well, and that goes back to the remembering, because I mean, throughout the Old Testament, it's always like, remember what God did with the parting of the Red Sea. Remember how He provided for you in the wilderness those 40 years. Remember, 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 remember. Right. And it's just so important. And, you know, one of the greatest examples of gratitude in the Bible is Jesus Himself. I mean, he was throughout the New Testament always thanking God the Father for things. And he thanked God not just in the good, but also in the bad. And we talked about in Matthew 26 where Jesus is doing the Last Supper, and he takes the cup and he thanks God for it and gave it to the followers. And he says, "This is my blood," which is the new agreement that God makes for his people, the blood that's poured out for many and for the forgiveness of sins. But in the midst of that, he was thanking God, knowing what was coming ahead for him. Mm-hmm. So he knew his circumstances. He knew the agony that he was going to be going through. Yet even in that, he still chose to have a thankful heart. And how he praised God the Father. And even in that extreme time of suffering, he chose joy. Hebrews tells us that, for the joy set before him. Mm-hmm. You know, he endured the cross. And so he is such an example to us of, regardless of circumstances, we have the power within us to choose gratitude. And there was a saying that I read from Charles Swindoll that said, "No one can control what happens to them, but we can control how we choose to deal with what happens to us."
Right.
And I thought that was so good. And we had been at our office at From His Heart. We had been going through a book. And there was a poem in this book that was just so good, and we spent a lot of time talking about it. Do you mind if I read it?
Okay.
Okay. It's by Ella Wilcox, and it says this: "One ship drives east and another drives west with the same self winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tell us the way to go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of fate as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that decides the goal and not the calm or the strife." Mm. And we just talked about how true that is. You know, that when we are secure in our relationship with the Lord, we have within us the ability to face whatever comes our way. Mm-hmm. Whatever winds happen to carry us, we can choose to have a heart of gratitude and to set our souls on the right things and to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. And as a result of that, have a heart of gratitude.
Well, remember this too. The Lord is over every circumstance. Now, we can create bad circumstances through bad choices, but still, nothing mm-hmm. comes into your life or my life unless it first filters through God's fingers of love. So the old phrase said, if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. And we can trust him in the midst of it. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined today by my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about the power of gratitude. And listen, we are up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. We like to do that. We like to have that last segment for your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of giving thanks and seeing God work through that as you trusted him and as you praised him, even through the tears and even through the hard times, please give us a call. Your testimony can help somebody else. And listen, the Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and joined with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the power of gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude. Obviously, this is Thanksgiving month, and Thanksgiving will be here, Thanksgiving Day. We're less than a week away, but we are, as Christians, we are to be thankful all the time. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is God's will. God doesn't will for rape and murder and incest and terrible, horrible things, robbery and violence. That's not God's will. But it's in those things. It is God's will that in those things, in no matter what you go through, that you have an attitude of gratitude, because praise and thanksgiving is faith turned inside out. It's our way of saying, God, I trust you. I know you're over it all. I know you love me. I know that you are good. And I know that you will work this terrible thing, whatever it is, for good in my life. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, your testimony can often help somebody else as we share what great things the Lord has done for us. You know, we talk about shine and share. Shine is how you live. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And share, as Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac who wanted to go with him. And he said, no, go to your people and tell them, share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And that guy went everywhere across those 10 cities, the Decapolis, and shared what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. And so never underestimate the power of your testimony. So we have Lee on the line from Texas. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. There's a couple things I want to tell you. First of all, I picture you as a shorter man with dark hair, and that's not you.
No.
No, that's not him. I called last year at the same time Deb was on the program, and I more or less got your advice. I can't go over to my family. The Bible tells me not to go over there. My brother, whose daughter is living with a man in their house, and has now had a baby since then. They smoke marijuana, they curse, and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Bible strictly tells me not to go over there, not to hang out with people like that, because it could rub off on me. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I lost a job one time because I was in their house, and they were smoking that stuff, and it got into me.
Right.
And I took a test, and they came. I came, and then I even told them about that. So now they smoke outside. Mm-hmm. It's just gotten so much worse, and I've completely made up my mind this year that I'm not. And I have my two best friends are there. They're in their 80s. They told me last year I wasn't friends with them after that when I went, and then I wish I hadn't went. And now I'm back. I'm not going to go. There's just no way.
Well, I appreciate the dilemma and appreciate your call, Lee. Yeah, I would just, my counsel there would just be to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as we were talking about Paul and Silas going to Philippi, they knew they were in the will of God because they had that Macedonian vision, come over here and help us. And so bottom line is we need to be led by God's Spirit. If we sense the Lord doesn't want us to go to a particular place, we don't need to go there. If we sense he does want us to go, then we want to go there. So I would just encourage you as you pray, just say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to not go. And so just show me, guide me by your Spirit. Because, you know, in some certain, you know, instances that can be like, my presence here is not good. This is creating lots of turmoil. And, you know, I might have better impact if I weren't here. And obviously, if, you know, if they're going to be doing things that are dishonoring to the Lord and your presence is considered participation, yeah, you don't want to do that, because you know, what fellowship has light with darkness. And so we want to be in places where It's safe as far as our witness goes. When I got saved, I couldn't go out with my buddies on Friday and Saturday night because they were going to go drinking and carousing, and I knew I couldn't do that. So I had to pick my spots with them. I could go eat lunch with them because they weren't drinking then. I could go play basketball with them. I could do things, fun things with them, but I had to be careful, you know, and set boundary markers for where and when. So I understand that, Lee. And so may God just give you wisdom and guide you by His Spirit on, especially as you think about family time and time with friends for the holidays. Well, we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's my word. I'm so blessed by you and your wife, and Paul is my favorite apostle. But what I told her, I there's this worship song. It's called Thank You, Jesus, and it is powerful. But what I was telling her, when I get up in the morning, I start, thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus, that I have a bed to sleep in. Thank you, I have water to drink. Thank you, I have food. Thank you, I have shelter. And it's, but all day long, Debbie, and sure. Jeff.
Jeff.
I do this all day long. Thank you, Jesus, for the littlest thing, for the biggest thing. And that is my, from the time I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night, I am saying thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, and you know, Linda, that's a good word, because we have to kind of train ourselves to that. It's just like my default is going to be thanksgiving and gratitude, not griping and complaining and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I appreciate that, Linda.
It's well, just, and that ahead. Repeated behavior over time becomes a habit.
Right.
Yeah. So that becomes your default.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning and at night. I'm just, this is something I do.
Right.
And then I don't even think about it. I'm just praising the Lord, knowing that He's over it all and knowing that I can trust Him. So thank you for that, Linda. We have Cassie on the line from Texas. Cassie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. Thank you so much. Love your show. I love this topic because it brought back a memory. I was in ninth grade. That was many, many years ago. I'm 65 now. And I was at the local mall in St. Louis, Missouri, and I found a book, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Mm. And I've read it like four times, and I'm sure I'll read it again. Yeah. And her sister, Betsy, was, they were in the concentration camp, and her sister insisted that I give thanks for the fleas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was just, yeah. And that stayed with me since ninth grade. That always stayed with me. And so I have done that ever since. I just give thanks, you know. And now I'm going to jump way ahead, but I was living in Boston, and I was at a family event. I had come to Christ later in life. I was 38 years old, and I now had a five-year-old. My daughter was five. Our daughter was five. And it did transform my life. I mean, everything turned upside down. We were both raised Catholics and living up there in this very different culture. And we were at a family event, and I said, no, I'm not going to participate. And then my husband was not going to participate. It was a wedding, you know, celebration type thing, you can imagine. And I got all the flack about that in front of my daughter. My mother-in-law came and just was attacking me, like, why aren't you going? It involved strip clubs, the whole thing. I was like, well, no, I'm not going. And my daughter heard this whole thing. We got in the car, and I gave thanks in front to God for that conflict. I said to Sedona, that's our daughter. She was seven at the time, I think five or seven. And I said, you know, I'm praising God for this because someone listened and someone heard that who probably doesn't want to go either, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that it just brought back those memories. And I just want to thank you for the show.
Amen.
Well, I was thinking about the Corrie Ten Boom thing, mm-hmm. you know, with Betsy being thankful for the fleas. And you think, how on earth could anyone be thankful for the fleas? But it goes back to the Romans 8:28, where God works all things together mm-hmm. for good, because it was those infestation of fleas that kept them safe.
Kept the guards away.
Kept the guards away from them. And so, you know, God used even those fleas.
You know, it's what's funny about that. I've used that illustration. I love Corey Ten Boom. Betsy was the much stronger believer out of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And God in his wisdom allowed Betsy to go home to heaven from there. Mm-hmm. And then Corey was the one that shared the story. Corey was probably stronger in her
physical
mm-hmm. and you know, makeup. But Betsy was the more sensitive spiritually.
Yes.
And because Corey said, or yeah, when they had fleas, Betsy was saying, Corey, we must thank God for the fleas. She said, I am not thanking God for the fleas. I hate these fleas. And she said, we have to because we give thanks in all things. And then Corey shared, you know, mm-hmm. that God used the fleas mm-hmm. to further the gospel. So thank you, Cassie. I appreciate your testimony so much. Well, we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, brother and sister. I want to say thank you for everything that God has fixed for our salvation. I try to do that every morning, to thank God for everything, breath to breathe, and thank you for our salvation. And also, that's what got the Israelites in trouble when they was griping, you know, God said, I'll leave you in this desert for 40 years. So mm-hmm. that's not a good thing. So also, right. I thank you, if you're in the sound of my voice, to send me a turkey leg, and I'll be glad and say thank you for that, too.
Yeah, very good. Well, when they grumbled against Moses in Numbers chapter 14, the Lord says, you haven't grumbled against Moses, you've grumbled against me. And so we need to remember that. Do all things without grumbling. That's my Greek word, gangousmos. Mm-hmm. That's that onomatopoeia word. You know, it sounds like it's mean, gangousmos. Mm-hmm. It sounds like grumbling. And we're to do all things without grumbling, being thankful and grateful, not grumbling, griping, complaining, what was his name from ESPN? Chris Berman. He would always have those little phrases as he would be showing the football plays. And he was saying, there he is, mumbling, grumbling, blumbling, fumbling. I always rhyme things out. But we don't want to be mumbling, grumbling, whining, griping, complaining. We want to be praising and saying, okay, Lord, you've allowed this to come into my life. I know you're going to use it for good.
Well, and those people that are always grumbling and complaining, you're not drawn to those people.
No.
You know, people are drawn to people that are thankful and grateful.
Right.
It's an attractive feature.
Well, here's something that you can do that can be a little painful, but find a trusted friend and say, listen, will you call me out every time you hear me going negative?
Okay, Jeff, we need to talk. No, I'm just kidding.
Because a lot of times we're not aware of it.
It's like the bad breath thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember reading in a book about being grateful, and it was a little plastic bracelet that that you would put on your wrist. And every time you grumbled and griped and complained, you had to change wrists. And you saw how much it made you aware of the fact, how much do I really gripe and complain during a day? Because lots of people think, oh, I don't do that. But when you're cognizant of it and you have other people call you out, then all of a sudden it's like, man, I'm flipping my bracelet from the left to the right constantly because I didn't know I had so much grumbling in me. So I appreciate that, Frank. God bless you, brother. We have time for one more call. Carol from South Carolina. Carol, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. Hi. You were talking negative. Well, I had a negative marriage for 44 years. Okay. But I survived with reaching out to different people. But I wanted to say, I was a Catholic. I'm Episcopalian. God's with me all the way. I'm 79. I've been through a whole lot, going through a whole lot, dealing with, yes. And I turned to God. I tell you a couple of things real quick here because, I mean, I have a whole slew of things that God is with me all the way.
Amen.
And I have to say, giving, oh, man, when I can give something to somebody that I don't know, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful to do that.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Carol. That's a good word. We're almost out of time. But let me just say this. So Exodus 15, they grumble at Moses because they don't have water. The waters are bitter. And here is the formula for success. Then he cried out to the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Exodus 15:25. What do you do when things are bitter in your life? You throw in the cross of Christ. You throw in the tree of Calvary, and he makes bitter water sweet. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Listen, if you have a question or comment, don't hesitate. You can reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Be grateful, be thankful, and watch how the Lord works in your own heart and how He uses your life to bless others. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.